Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Now joining us on the Aturo Tire Hotline is Steve Stone. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, Mully. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Hey, it's great to hear you're coming back, right? I read that correctly. You are returning next year. That's great news.
Well, let's not put the cart before the horse, but I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. We have to work out some details, but the main thing is the White Sox would like to have me back, and I would like to come back. I'm pretty sure I'm going to end my career, whenever that is, with the White Sox. I hope it's further down the road than we're looking at now. I'm pretty sure it will be, and we'll have to see what happens. But I think the major aspect of this is they would like me, I would like them, and I think when that's said and done, it's pretty easy to fill in the rest of the stuff.
Good story in this morning Sun Times by Darryl Van Scowen, Steve. That's good news for a lot of Sox fans, baseball fans in general, that you want to come back and looking forward to the future. Non-Sox question quickly because it's breaking news here. I know you just saw the Cubs, Hector Neris, released by the Cubs. They're 5.5 out, Steve. I think they have slim hopes of getting back in the wild card spot. When a team releases a veteran reliever at this stage of the season where the Cubs are, does that signal surrender, concession, or does that just mean Neris was bad and had to go?
No, I don't think it signals concession at all. I mean, when you have a team that you believe still has a chance, even if it's a faint chance, and I'm looking at, you know, everybody has a rating service. It's a 4%, it's a 6% chance, whatever the case may be. But each and every day you're going out to win that particular ball game, and you take stock of what you have, and if one of those guys is not doing what you need him to do, then you have to part ways. And the thing that takes the heart out of a ball club more than anything else, and the Sox have seen it this year over and over again, Sox are 9-26 in one-run games. And so when your closer can't close, that's a big problem for the entire organization, and it tears the heart out of the club. So they're obviously believing they can find somebody else who can do that job, but I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that it's a concession speech. I mean, you play them all. You never know what happens. We've seen baseball being a very strange game. Highly unpredictable. And so I think the Cubs probably figure they're better off without him at this point. They still have to pay the money. There's really not a whole lot to be gained when you say, let's concede and put somebody else in that role. I think they'll try to find somebody, maybe a couple of different guys, depending on matchups, to try to fill that gap. And, you know, you see what happens.
Steve, we had an interesting conversation this morning. We were talking about the one Sox player. We were looking for a position player and maybe a pitcher that can get the most out of these final 36 games. I think we settled on a couple of the young pitchers that have come up. Cannon, obviously, and maybe Davis Martin. And we talked about Brooks Baldwin, just that there's opportunity here. Dominic Fletcher is making the most out of a late opportunity here. Are those kind of the way you look at it? Who would you pick if we asked you that question?
Well, I believe that a season like the Sox are going through affords an opportunity to a lot of guys who wouldn't ordinarily get that opportunity. And I think you pretty much hit it on the head. I mean, Cannon has been pretty good. I know he gave up the 5 yesterday, but by and large, as a first-year pitcher, you look for movement, you look for a competitive spirit, which he has, you look for a good pitching acumen, which he appears to have one of those also. And so you'd have to say, yeah, that looks like a guy who, moving forward, can be a part of this rotation or at least compete for it. I think the same thing is true with Thorpe. He's eventually going to get over this arm difficulty, but I think he showed enough to say, you know, this is a guy we want to keep our eye on. As far as Brooks Baldwin is concerned, I think he's had some moments where he looks like, a little more experience, some more at-bats, situational hitting, understanding what's going on. And I think you might have yourself a guy that could fit into your major league team. I like the way he swings a bat. I like, at times, the aggressive nature of what he's doing, and at other times when he sets out to make contact, it looks like he can do that. Looks like he can play a few different positions. So, yeah, we're getting a chance to see some guys who will have a shot, and it's it's a little better, I think, to evaluate them now than it is to evaluate them in spring training, because a lot of strange things happen in Arizona. Hitters will have great springs because it's rock-hard infields, and guys don't have quite the breaking ball in Arizona that they'll have later on. As far as pitchers are concerned, there's guys that get off to really quick starts. They do great here, then all of a sudden they go back north and it doesn't work for them. Or, conversely, they have tough springs, and it does. So I like to take a look at guys the last part of the year and see what they do against major league competition. It's going to be, you know, it's really difficult for a guy to hit when you're facing teams that are trying to get to the playoffs and they're showing you their best. So I think this is a good evaluative process. I think that's what the Sox are going through because, quite frankly, that's what they're left with at this point.
That includes the manager. Small sample size, Steve, but what are your impressions of Grady Sizemore in that role, and how viable of a candidate do you think he will be when they begin the search for Pedro Grifol's successor?
Well, I think he's going to be given consideration. What I like is I think the team is playing better. You still have the idea that, you know, this isn't the most talented team around. In fact, it's a team that is lacking in talent in a lot of different areas. And so that makes it very difficult on whoever's managing. So then you look at the attitude and the type of play that the team is exhibiting. And I think under Grady, they played a little bit better. I think they are hustling, certainly, but I think they did that under Pedro. But I think the team is playing a bit better under Grady. And to some instances, that's to be expected. However, you know, Grady's going to do the best with what he's been given. I think the team both respects and likes him. That's important. But I also think it's important for the Sox to interview as many qualified candidates as they can and figure out just exactly what they want to accomplish next year. And I think the organization has to sit back, and I think this is what they're going to do. They're going to sit back, they're going to look in a mirror, they're going to say, okay, how did we get here? Because what you have left after this season, they'll do, well, what I call an autopsy on the season, which pretty much means let's check every aspect of the organization, see where we can do a little bit better. And then also ask ourselves, there's certain trades that were made, and why is some of the guys we've traded doing better where we traded them than they did here? Ask yourself why that's happening. And I think there's a number of different things. When you try to evaluate your organization top to bottom, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. Figure out where you can improve things. Figure out how exactly you got where you got. Figure out why some players are developing, some other players are not. And then do a top to bottom change. If you don't like what's happened, do a change and try to figure out exactly what you want White Sox baseball to be. And then make it that way, with a heavy emphasis on fundamentals, because I don't think they want to go through another year like this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Steve. I just wonder, when we look at how they got there, right? I mean, it's crazy to think that you thought you had a playoff team and you wind up 500. Next thing you know, you're losing 100 games, and now here you're going to set a record. It's like how quickly this got to this point is very hard to sort of differentiate in your own mind.
I don't think it got here quickly, Mully. That's the one thing I'll disagree with you on, because, okay. You check the last couple of years, and certainly, you know, you lose 101, and now you're going to lose whatever you're going to lose. But I don't think this was a quick process. I think this was a process when you look exactly, again, how they got here. You look at some deals that were given out to guys that were not particularly good deals, some trades that were made that were not particularly good trades, some free agent acquisitions that were not good free agent acquisitions. You take a look at it all, and you say this process took some time to get to this point. And then figure out exactly what kind of ballpark you have. Try to tailor your team to the ballpark. I mean, look, we played Baltimore. Baltimore's got a pretty good team, and we're going to play them again coming up. But when our ball club played Baltimore, they had 7 left-hand hitters in the lineup, a couple of switch hitters certainly, but 7 left-hand hitters against a right-hand pitcher, which takes away to a certain extent the advantage of that slider. The righty-righty advantage on a slider, as we've seen at times with Luis Robert, who has trouble with that, that's a big advantage. So when you put consequential left-hand hitters in your lineup, I think it makes it more difficult, because this is not a secret. The overwhelming majority of starting pitchers are right-handed, and setup men are right-handed, and closers are almost exclusively right-handed. It would behoove you to have as many consequential left-hand hitters as you can have. Sox have not been able to do a good job of loading their lineup with left-handers that are consequential left-handers to try to combat all those really good right-handed guys with sliders. I think that's one of the things. There's some other things, certainly, and, you know, an emphasis on fundamentals and on defense. And so I think this is a pretty aware front office. I think the additions to the front office are important to the White Sox organization. I think they're going to take a look at this and say, you know, we have to do things differently. And I think that they're going to. And I think that's really important when you do an evaluation of the entire organization after this season.
Steve, you said it requires brutal honesty to solve some of these issues. Be brutally honest, quickly. Why has Michael Kopech gone to the Dodgers and in 9 appearances, thrown 9 innings, given up 1 hit, has 2 saves, the same Michael Kopech that was so erratic with the Sox?
Well, then we get to the evaluation process. And one of the things that I said earlier in this interview was you have to figure out why there are some guys that do better when you send them someplace else. Is that other place doing something that you didn't do? And I don't really know the answer to that. I do know that Michael was throwing the ball better when he was traded. He was progressively throwing it better, and now he's throwing it unbelievably well. And so why that is, I don't know if anybody can answer, but for me, that was the most difficult of all the guys we gave up because, number one, I really like Michael a lot as a man, but I also love the arm. And I love the ability that he hadn't shown to this point, but I knew that it was there and was just a question to get it out. And so it doesn't really surprise me that he's doing as well as it is. And I guess, you know, you take a look and say, okay, we weren't able to get it out of him. What did the Dodgers do differently, if anything? And then, you know, you ask yourself what you can do to change the development process of some of these guys that you have, especially the guys that are really talented, guys that are gifted with a great arm or a lot of power, whatever it is they have. How are you going to more easily get it out of them?
Great stuff, Steve. Thank you. Always fun to talk.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, guys. Have a good rest of the show. I'll talk to you down the road.